Powered by you.
Hello, hello.
Listener supported.
This is the Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive. Answer the call.
Well, hello, hello. Oh, songs of my youth. It's hard to believe the Beatles were like 60 years ago, weren't they? Wow. The voice in my head just asked if that made me feel old. It doesn't make me feel old. I am old. So I can feel old without any help from any song. So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, I just want to say thank you. It's just, I get the impression things are going swimmingly, and like I always say, this is your apostolate. I'm just here, but you're the ones who make it happen with both prayer and your generosity. So, God bless you. I so enjoy doing this, and I'm so grateful to all of you. That said, let us open the big book on the coffee table. Oh, this is Ezekiel, and he's letting them have it, the shepherds of Israel. Now, he is talking about essentially a governmental operation. You have to understand that there was not the concept of separation of church and state didn't exist. It actually, I think, originates with Israel, because kings were from the tribe of Judah and priests were from the tribe of Levi. You couldn't be a priest king, whereas in the ancient world, we saw yesterday with this screed against Ethbal the Third, the king of Tyre. You know, he'd made himself a god. Well, that's what they believed, that kings were somehow divine. Julius Caesar claimed divinity. He claimed descent from the god Mars and the goddess Venus, and it's one of the things that got him killed. But the idea that a king was somehow divine, he was at least had a priestly function. The idea that government should not offer sacrifice and sacrificers should not run the government was a hard sell, and it really didn't create a separation of church and state. Temple and palace were next to each other in Jerusalem and at the time of King David. So we have this constant tension, and this is part of the tension. Here we're talking about probably more about the government. The government's job was to back up the temple, in a sense. That's one of the main tasks of the king, and they didn't do it very well or very often. So that said, when we talk about shepherds in the church, we mean the clergy, especially bishops. Now, I think that we live in a very blessed time in which, I look at the history of the church, and we've had such a long string of really committed popes, and bishops are real hardworking people. People say, somebody once said to me, "Wouldn't you like to be a bishop?" I said, "No, I don't like chicken, beef, or sausage nearly that well." Seriously, that you go to a banquet and it's the kind of mass-produced chicken, beef, and sausage or something. I'll never forget, I was at a banquet once, and it was Southeast Asian people. I won't go into the specific ethnicity, but a person came up to me and insisted that I eat their pig's ear salad, which was their mother's recipe. I just looked at this stuff and I thought, oh, well, I don't know. Now I'm gossiping, which is fun. But I remember good dear Bishop Conway, who was my vicar. He was a wonderful, wonderful bishop, a real pastor. And you always have the confirmation banquet. And he was in the parish down the road, and he was going to come do confirmation. After a meeting, I said, what do you want for the confirmation banquet? You have the banquet with the teachers and the clergy and all that sort of thing. I said, what do you want for the banquet, Mexican or Vietnamese? And he looked at me and said, whatever. And I looked at him and said, how would you like to not have a banquet? And he looked at me and said, oh, I could eat at home. I thought that was that kind of summed up the modern episcopate. That you don't get to think, I'm going bowling this Friday night. No, Your Excellency, you have an appointment with this group or that group or this ceremony. So I think that it's very important for us to pray for our shepherds and to realize that in our times, the life of the bishop is really a very sacrificial life. And I guess I'm saying cut them some slack because they do want to feed the sheep. However, that said, I think that we who are clergy have to understand that we should never lose sight of the fact that we are servants. And that's true for deacons. It is true for consecrated women. It is true for priests. It is true for bishops. It is true for the Holy Father, the Pope, It is sometimes very hard to remember that you are a servant and you're not there to be served because people want to serve you, and pretty soon you start believing the hype. So this is a good passage for us to read. So all right, I almost never talk about the psalm. How many minutes we got, dear voice in my head? Ballpark. I think I got 3 minutes for the next reading. This always upsets people. Oh, well, maybe I'll save that for the word of the day. There's so many wonderful words in the text that I'm always wondering which one I should make the word of the day. All right, let's go to the gospel. Matthew, the 20th chapter, the first verse and following. This is the parable about the landowner who went out to the town square and said, I need laborers for my vineyard. He hired some in the morning, some at noon, and some in the last hour. And he gave them all the same salary. And the ones who had been working all day got very angry, and they said, that's just not fair. It's not just. And it was just because it was generous. In the Israelite concept of justice, generosity is an essential component. Charity is an essential component. And he makes the point, is this not mine to do with as I please? Can I give where I want to give? And, you know, I'm always telling you, don't forget that God has this problem. He thinks he's God. And most of our spiritual life is him trying to convince us of that fact, that he's God and I'm not. So let's go back to the top of the reading. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Again, with the kingdom. Well, that's in the Bible. What am I? I can't avoid it. The kingdom of heaven, I always tell you to translate that. You know what God is like. God's nature, his royal nature, the nature of the king of the universe, is like a landowner who went out. You know, how can a place be like a landowner or a political system be like a landowner? No, God's nature is like the landowner. In other words, God wants to give, and we don't want him to. You know, don't you ever heard the joke about the old Russian farmer's prayer? Isn't, oh Lord, give me a cow like my neighbor's? It's may my neighbor's cow die. That's a joke. It's not terribly funny, but moving along. Sometimes we're like that we don't want God to bless other people unless he's blessed us better. And God gives us the blessing that we need the most. And when God seems to favor someone, you don't know why he is favoring him, or even if it's really a favor. That the attitude we need to have as Christians is, thank you, that I'm grateful for what you've given me. Remember that coveting is one of the big 10 commandment-wise. So let us concede to God the fact that he is God and that he knows what fits us best. Let us go to Father Rocky's spot now, speaking of gifts from the Lord, and he's always got something good to say, so let's listen.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, the Executive Director of Relevant Radio and the host of the Family Rosary Across America. If you listen to the Family Rosary, you know I've repeated the words of Venerable Father Patrick Peyton many times. A family that prays together stays together. Now, you may be too young to remember Father Peyton, but he was known as the Rosary Priest. And his Rosary Prayer Book is the most complete prayer book of meditations on the mysteries of the Rosary today. Our special thank you gifts today only at the dollar day level are Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book and a Rosary Bookmark. I want this book and bookmark, and you will too. See it for yourself at relevantradio.com. Give a dollar a day, that's $3.65 for the year, and you'll receive both a Father Peyton Rosary Meditation Book and the Rosary Bookmark. Give a dollar a day now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Or you can call us at 877-291-0123.
Shelf Catherine in Green Bay, she made a gift of a dollar a day. Gary in Waukesha made that gift of a dollar a day. And Jane in Sheboygan, Wisconsin made that gift of, she made a gift of $20. Thank you so much. But Christine in Milwaukee made a gift of a dollar a day. Are you going to do that too? Make that special gift of a dollar a day? That's a simple $365 one-time gift if you want to do it one time or spread it out over 12 months. Either way will work for us. And when you do that, we will send you this fabulous gift that Father just talked about, Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book, and it's a perfect companion with this absolutely gorgeous rosary bookmark. It's a metal bookmark with some beautiful beads. It's got one decade of the rosary on it to kind of enhance your prayer life. They go together perfectly. Mary Graham and Neil Robbins stepping in here for just a few minutes. And Neil, I'd like to see about 150 of these rosaries go out, these rosary bookmarks go out during this hour. I think we can do that. What do you think?
150. Let's do it. 150 of the dollar a day gifts. Beautiful book on the rosary by Father Patrick Peyton, known as the Rosary Priest. And inside this book, it's 230 meditations on the rosary for a deeper, more meaningful contemplation on the mysteries of the rosary and what God wants to reveal to you through them. So this is really a terrific book, those 230 meditations divided into 40 themes. And along with that, as Mary was talking about, a beautiful decade bookmark that is, it's got the glass crystals, and you need to check it out online at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. Very pretty, and that will go along with your rosary book if you give a dollar a day right now to Relevant Radio. Mary said 150 books and bookmarks out the door this hour. Can you take care of one of those dollar a day gifts? Give us a ring at 877-291-0123 or online, relevantradio.com, or Mary on the Relevant Radio app.
That's right. And when you make your gift on that app, you'll also receive the bonus download from Father Rocky. This is, we're in the middle of a Eucharistic revival. So this is a talk about Cardinal Dolan's 10 resolutions for your Eucharistic revival. Great talk. You'll get it instantly in your inbox when you make that gift at relevantradio.com or when you use the app on Relevant Radio app. But we need to emphasize that today is the only day that these rosary bookmarks are available. Don't think I'll get to it tomorrow, and there's also a limited number. So make the call, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123 or relevantradio.com, a dollar a day.
Open up them pearly gates, open up them pearly gates, open up them pearly gates for me. When you hear that trumpet blast, I'll be coming home at last. Open up them pearly gates for me.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like that song from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. Food around the corner, food around the corner. It's a flea on a dog. Oh, good Lord. Welcome back to the Reverend Know-It-All Fire-Baptized Holiness Gospel Hour, as I like to call the show. At any rate, the phones are open, and I will take phone calls, God willing, if anyone has the nerve to call, 888-914-9149. Be brave and call 888-914-9149. All right, let's go to letters. Okay, I got letters here. There's one. I get good letters. I really do. This is one from Corinna in Los Angeles. Hi, Father Simon. I'm redoing my consecration to Mary, and I'm studying the teachings of St. Maximilian Kolbe. I have a question. He states that Mary is the created Immaculate Conception, the Holy Spirit is the uncreated Immaculate Conception, as he is God. This got me thinking, is there mention of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? And if not, would God have created the Holy Spirit from himself in preparation for the Immaculate Conception of Mary and the coming of Jesus and the reconciliation of Adam and Eve? First thing to say, the Holy Spirit is eternal, proceeding from the Father and the Son. In other words, the Holy Spirit was never, ever created. He proceeds. Do you create your breath? No, you just breathe. And if you don't breathe, you stop being, at least in this world. That's what the word spirit means. In Greek, it's pneuma, and in Hebrew, it's ruach, which means they mean breath. And the best way to talk about the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not the only way to talk about the Trinity. You can also think of the Holy Trinity, and now take this with a grain of salt, of course, because it's one of my harebrained ideas, but you can think of the Holy Trinity as the speaker, there's the salt shaker, the speaker, the word spoken, and the breath that speaks it. The Father speaks the Son, and what do you do when you speak? You breathe. So that's an inadequate way to talk about the Holy Trinity, but it can be illustrative that the Holy Spirit is the very living of God, and not the life of God, the very living of God. It's kind of a difficult thing to wrap one's head around that we are living beings. We have spirits. We are spirits who manifest ourselves. This is the way I interpret it, in a mortal body and in an immortal soul. But we are one being, one living being, because we have this breathing. And I don't just mean physical breathing. All right, that said, that no, the Holy Spirit was not created in order to create the world and the Blessed Mother. No, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. St. Maximilian would have thought of this conceiving of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Father and Son, as this uncreated engendering, that the Holy Spirit is engendered by the relationship of the Father and the Son. In other words, the very love of God, which is the life of God, is the Holy Spirit, the relationship between the Father and the Son. Remember, St. John Paul, who I like to call the Great, said that the Holy Spirit is the perfect family. Your family is like a family, to which I thought, on a good day. God is not a solitude, not an aloneness, but a solidarity. God is the perfect relationship, so perfect that God is one, and yet you can't have love without diversity of person. That's very important. That the diversity of person is a perfect diversity, three persons. So it sounds a little complicated, but it isn't. If you think of God as the perfect relationship, perfect solidarity, so the Holy Spirit was never created. And you ask, is the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? All over the place. That they didn't think of the Holy Spirit as a person. We came to know that through Jesus. However, when we look at the creation narrative, Genesis, the first chapter, the second verse. Now the earth was formless and void, formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And that's that. It just goes on and on. We read the Psalms, Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit is throughout the Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit was never created. So I hope that answers your questions. I've kind of gone into it, well, I'd like to think thoroughly, but it's important to understand the Holy Spirit is God, the proceeding from the Father and the Son. All right. Now, There's one here about, you know, someone talking about the pastor of his church using a sermon to criticize certain elements of government. You know, I really can't comment on that because I wasn't there. Generally speaking, I think most pastors avoid politics. However, we do live in a world that is civil, and there are certain things that people think are political, like abortion, and they're not political. They're moral issues. So when an issue that is political is also a moral issue, in a sense, we have a duty to comment on it and to share the Catholic faith and not simply our own political opinions. Generally speaking, we try to avoid politics, but we can't avoid morality. And I would talk to him about this. Don't be afraid to talk to him. You know, speak the truth in love if you disagree with him. All right. I am confused by Friday's first reading, the book of Ezekiel. I know he's speaking of Jerusalem, but how is Jerusalem being referenced? Like the actual city or the Jewish people or the larger Israelite community? It's Jerusalem. The reading. Let me pull up that reading. We're getting ahead of ourselves here, but it's Jerusalem. You have to understand how completely tiny that must mean last Friday's reading, because it's coming Friday's reading is the dry bones, but you have to understand how absolutely tiny the Holy Land is. It's no bigger than a few good-sized American counties. It's just tiny. So when they talk about Jerusalem, they're talking about Judea. They didn't quite think of them. Yeah, there it is, Friday, Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, I think you're referring to. Thus God says, the Lord God to Jerusalem. Jerusalem meant the whole country, which was a tiny country. And he's saying, by origin and birth, you are of the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. He's talking about Jerusalem in the sense that Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, and reasonably the people around Jerusalem, had gone back to the fertility religions of the people who had inhabited the land before they came. So that's what's going on here. They're an Amorite and a Hittite and have been unfaithful because they are courting the gods of the nations. So I think that's what's going on there. I hope that answers the question. If I don't know that it answers any questions, but there you go. Are all the sins in the Ten Commandments mortal sins? I'm being asked by Jason. No, not necessarily. All of the sins in the Ten Commandments, I think, can be mortal sins, but not all of them necessarily are. For instance, a lie. Well, not all lies are mortal sins. If you tell a lie that destroys someone's life, well, that might rise to the level of mortal sin if you knowingly tried to destroy their life, or stealing enough to ruin their life. If you knew that that's the consequence, it would certainly be a mortal sin. But no, you can... I'm not... Remember, there's no such thing as a good sin. People think, well, venial sin's a good sin, mortal sin's a bad sin. No, all sins are infinite offenses against the infinite majesty of God, though not all of them cut off our spiritual life. Speaking of spiritual life, we're going to the pitch center.
We are indeed, Father Simon. Neil Robbins, along with Mary Graham, asking you to help us out. The Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive continues. Please answer the call at relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or 877-291-0123. So far during the pledge drive, we're at a little over $1.1 million, but we do have a $3 million need to hit by Friday evening. And you may be asking, how can I help? Well, how about giving a dollar a day to our mission? We're looking for a bunch of dollar a day gifts this hour, and those will add up very, very quickly to help us get closer and closer to that $3 million mark. Can you give one of those dollar a day gifts? Give us a try at 877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, or the app. And today only, And only while supplies last, and they're flying out of here, we have two special thank you gifts at the dollar a day giving level, Father Patrick Payton's rosary book, and a very special one-decade rosary bookmark to go with it. And this is the only day that we're doing the rosary bookmark. So make sure you give a dollar a day today while supplies last at relevantradio.com, the app, or 877-291-0123. Really a special twofer of gifts, Mary Graham.
It sure is. And if you make your gift at relevantradio.com or by using the app, it becomes a threefer of gifts, because in addition to the bookmark and the book, the Rosary Book by Father Payton, you'll also receive the talk that's been produced by Father Rocky, Cardinal Dolan's 10 Resolutions for Your Eucharistic Revival. You know, we are in the beginning of a three-year Eucharistic revival that our U.S. bishops have launched. And this talk is going to help you grow in your love and devotion to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. It's a brand new recording. You're going to love it. And it comes in your inbox almost immediately. Carol did this. She said, I want all three. She goes, I want the triple home run. She got it in Wappingburg's Fall, New York, made that gift of a dollar a day online. We had an anonymous donor in Costa Mesa, California. Again, online gift at a dollar a day. Great job. Thank you so much for that. And we have another online gift at a dollar a day in Pasadena, California. Jean Marie, thank you so much for your help and your support. And I hope you enjoy your gifts.
Father Patrick Payton said, the family that prays together stays together. You've heard Father Rocky repeat Father Payton's line during the Family Rosary Across America. Evenings at 7 Central here on Relevant Radio. We'll pick yourself up a terrific book by Father Patrick Payton. It includes 230 meditations on the rosary. And along with the book, we have that beautiful Rosary One Decade bookmark available today only and while supplies last. So give a dollar a day right now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.
You're vital to our mission to bring Christ to the
world through the media.
The Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive continues.
Answer the call.
Oh, we're just laughing here at Relevant Radio. We have a lot of fun. We really do have a lot of fun. So speaking of fun, of course, the phones are open at 888-914-9149. But let us go now to the word of the day. I got a letter that asks a fun question that I will now answer if I can find it. Okay. That's not the letter. Okay. Come on, brain. Where did I put the letter? Oh, there's the music, the waiting music. I think I can answer it without finding the letter. Someone asked, what was the, you see IHS all over the place. You might see it on a cross. What's the IHS, and how did that come to represent the Lord in some way or other? Well, I will tell you. It's Greek. That the letter I in Greek is essentially the same as an I or a Y. And then the letter S is pretty much the same, but it's that one in the middle, that H, the Greek long E, which is pronounced A, English, how odd, A is pronounced A, E is pronounced E, English is nuts. But that H is the Greek letter that sounds A, the long E sound. In other words, it's J-E-S. In other words, it's the Greek abbreviation for the name of Jesus. And I think I've shared with you how Yehoshua, which is what Jesus would have been called in Hebrew, how it became Jesus in Latin and Greek. And just for fun, I'll do it again. That the Greek, the Aramaic form of Yehoshua is Yeshua. And early church fathers like Clement of Alexandria said Jesus wasn't really called Yeshua. He was called Yeshu, which is the short form. It means Josh. That's what it means. Just like our Josh Raymond. Yeshua became Yeshu. So they have no sh sound in Latin or Greek. So it became yes. Yesu. Jesus. And it comes into our language as Jesus. So that I, it's Yoda, Eta, Sigma, or I-E-S. That's what it is. It's not an H. I remember when we were kids, we thought it must mean, as it was over the cross, I have suffered. So, no, it doesn't mean I have suffered. It means Jesus. There, question simply answered. All right, let us now go to... That's it.
Hello.
Phone calls. Hello. Let's go to Marianne.
Hello.
Hello, Marianne. Is that you?
Yes. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. What can I do for you?
Good. Well, I want your take on a church that I go to in Fort Myers. The Mass for Saturday is 3:30.
I unless I'm wrong, I believed it was supposed to be at 4:00. And you couldn't do it without before 4:00 unless you have the bishop's permission. You may have the bishop's, you may have Episcopal, it's in Fort Myers, Florida, early bird special.
Correct.
That's the one I'd go to, believe me.
That's the one I go to.
Well, there you go. He probably, you know, it's probably a concession to us people of some seniority. How's that?
well, there's like 3 masses after that, so it's a pretty big parish.
Yeah, also. Oh, it's a big parish. Then he's doing it for pastoral reasons, and I imagine has the bishop's permission. So yeah, it certainly would be valid. That would be my opinion.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. God bless, Marianne. All right. Let's go to Michael. Michael, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you? God bless you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
Sometimes. Okay. Yeah, my question deals with the third commandment, the Sabbath commandment.
Yes.
Which I was reading Deuteronomy 5 this morning. Says, starting at verse 12, it says, keep the Sabbath, sanctify it, and so forth. 6 days you should labor, do, and the seventh day. So my question is based on that part where it says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And it says that you shouldn't do any work, and even the manservant, and even the stranger. So it appears to be saying that even the Gentiles, and in fact, it said even the animals.
So why do we celebrate Sunday instead of Saturday is the essential question. Well, very interesting. I pondered this, and I learned a great deal about Sabbath from Rabbi Lefkowitz. I would go over to the rabbi's house, and his sons would be snoring on the sofa, and I would look at them and say, oh, honoring the Sabbath, are we? They would have Sabbath lunch and then be out. Much more important, one of the most important rules for Jews to enter the covenant of which the commandments were part was circumcision. We don't require that either. We are no longer, St. Paul says, under the law. So you have to understand that Sabbath for Jews is not marked by what they do. Well, they worship on Saturday, we worship on Sunday. No, they worship every day, we worship every day. Sabbath for Jews is marked by what they don't do. They couldn't offer sacrifices in the temple on Sabbath. There were only the two public sacrifices, the morning and evening sacrifice, I believe, unless it was Passover, in which there was also Passover sacrifice. But Sabbath is marked not by what you do, it's marked by what you don't do. And my theory about why we came to emphasize Sunday, everyone says, well, it's because of the resurrection and all that. Yeah, okay, that's all true. But the disciples were observant Jews. Why would they have thought, oh, we got to start worshiping Sunday. We can't do not Saturday anymore. That's because they couldn't offer the sacrifice of the Mass as far as they were concerned. It was the Thanksgiving sacrifice. You offered the Thanksgiving sacrifice when you had been saved from death. And it was a personal and a sacrifice. It was a private sacrifice. So they couldn't do that. So they transferred it to Sunday. That was the first day of the week at which they could offer it. So that became the custom. Then around the 5th century, we began to observe Sunday as if a Sabbath. That was, I think, even the wording of the council that talked about that, or the legislation in the church that talked about that. However, we don't observe the law in the same way. Our relationship to the law is changed. We fulfill it, we do not simply obey it. For instance, how do you fulfill the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery? By being having your spouse be your closest friend. That's how you fulfill it. So how do we fulfill Sabbath? We honor God every day. Every day is sacred for us. So the reason that we have Mass on Sunday, I believe, is because the disciples, instinctively, knowing it was the messianic sacrifice, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, moved it to Sunday. That's my theory. So I hope that answers your question, that we don't conform ourselves to the law of Moses, we fulfill it. So hopefully, speaking of fulfilling the law, we got a miracle moment.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Let's get to the phones. Let's talk to Steve.
Yes, hello, Mr. Madrid. I just wanted to tell you that, I'm a homeless person in Los Angeles, and I've been leaning on Relevant Radio, and I woke up with so much gratitude. I've been praying as a homeless person, got my faith back, listening to this station. I just wanted to thank you and the entire Relevant Radio family that you have over there, because it's incredibly useful for a person who's struggling like myself, and I just wanted to say that. Every one of your programs is incredibly helpful for a person like myself who's struggling, so thank you so much.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio. Tap the Relevant Radio app or give online at relevantradio.com.
Just when you think you've heard the best miracle moment ever, there comes another one. And we want to hear, what's your miracle moment? How has Relevant Radio impacted your life? How can we pray for you? How can we help you? We want to hear all of that. When you visit our website, relevantradio.com, check out the app on your smartphone or tablet, or when you call 877-291-0123, that's 877-291-0123. Help keep this programming on the air. And we have a very, very special gift available today. And today only, it is the Rosary Bookmark.
That's right, Mary. The Rosary Bookmark. It's a decade bookmark, and it's made from hematite, accented with faceted glass crystals. And this is a great companion to the book that we have for you today at the Dollar a Day Giving level. And that is the Rosary Book by Venerable Father Patrick Peyton, and that book contains 230 meditations on the Holy Rosary to take you deeper into those mysteries of the Rosary, and it's yours today only for $1 a day, but only while supplies last. So you need to get a hold of us as soon as you can. Many have flown out the door today, and we only have a certain number of the bookmarks. So we will have the book the remainder of the week, but this is the only hour during Father Simon all week long that you will be able to get this beautiful decade rosary bookmark for a gift of $1 a day, $30.42 a month to Relevant Radio if you want to break it down across the year. So get a hold of us now. Come in at the dollar a day giving level, 877-291-0123, or answer the call and give online at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app.
Bernadette in Portland, Oregon, she made that gift. She actually did $400. You're getting your bookmark. We have Joan in Los Angeles. She made a $2,000 gift. You might wonder, well, if I give more than $1 a day, can I still get the bookmark? Yes, absolutely, you can. Most definitely, an anonymous donor in Orlando, Florida, gave $1 a day. And we have Maria in Clifton, New Jersey, giving that special gift of $1 a day. You can do it too when you visit our website, relevantradio.com. Use the app on your smartphone or tablet, or when you call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. The final 15 minutes of Father Simon for this Wednesday on our pledge drive, a very special gift today and today only. This rosary bookmark is yours. You better call before they're gone. Do not wait. We'd love to hear from you at relevantradio.com or on the app. It's the best way to answer the call.
It's true, don't you know it? What a friend we have. We also have a Lord. That's important to remember. All right, let's go back to phone calls. Stephanie from New Braunfels. Are you with us, Stephanie? What can I do for you?
I am, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you're well today.
Pretty good, pretty good.
So we facilitate a catechism class once a week for already catechized Catholics, but just that we want to know more about our faith. So we read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we talk about each paragraph.
Oh, good.
So we were reading paragraphs 441 through 445 yesterday evening, and we wanted to know that that refers to Son of God with a lowercase s and a capital S, and we felt like we understood the difference. But what we wondered is, in the original, you know, this, and this all cites biblical scripture to substantiate it. And what we wondered is, in the original language of the scripture or oral tradition, if it was oral, obviously they wouldn't know capital S, lowercase s. So what would they have been different words for lowercase s, Son of God, versus capital S, Son of God?
No, they did not have capitals or uncials, I think the little letters are called. No, they didn't. And they didn't have punctuation, and they didn't have spaces between the words or between the sentences or between the paragraphs. They just wrote it as it was. And but this idea of
how would they know the difference?
Well, you know it from context, but the idea is Jesus called himself the Son of Man, not the Son of God. And that's interesting because everybody was the Son of God. Julius Caesar was the Son of God. It was fascinating to me. The devil never calls Jesus Son of Man. He has no problem calling him Son of God. And he meant the devil knew what he was talking about. And that's because the Son of Man is a term taken from the book of Daniel. And it's clearly a celestial being who comes from the throne of God and who's given dominion over the world. The devil was very comfortable calling Jesus Son of God. If God would just mind his own business and stay in heaven, the devil was fine with that. So this idea of Jesus calling himself the Messiah, there were lots of messiahs, calling himself the Son of God. If he said, I'm the Son of God, he didn't say that. He acknowledged Peter. But you'd only know it from context. And you see, the idea of God having a son was so abhorrent and is so abhorrent to observant Jews that it would have made no sense. But when Jesus called himself Son of Man, it was very clear to them what he was saying, that he was divine. And when Peter, you'd see that in the context, Peter calls him, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Heaven's revealed this to you. In that context, we capitalize it. Does that answer your question?
I think so. So there was no different word
and
they got it from text.
The angels were the sons of God. It just was the word in Hebrew was a very widely used concept. Ben is the word for son, and it was just used.
What is the word?
Ben, B-E-N. And B-N-I was sons. And so this was just used for everything. If you were a son of perdition, how can perdition have a son? Well, you were a Ben, I forget what perdition is in Hebrew, but this word, sons of the covenant, B'nai B'rith. We have the B'nai B'rith all over the place today, organizations. Sons of the covenant. It was a very commonly used word, which meant someone who is an adherent of or belongs to. It didn't necessarily mean someone who is generated by another. So it was a word that meant any kind of organizational group. Sons of the covenant. Sons of perdition and all that sort of thing. Does that help?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, good. Thanks. And thanks for listening. Okay. We will go now to, let's go to Martin in Orlando, Florida.
Good afternoon. I heard a week or so ago some discussion about the relationship between Joseph and Mary. And keeping in mind that the church is opposed to unnatural things. Why would it, first of all, why would it be important to know the relationship between Joseph and Mary? And secondly, I have a hard time believing that two young, healthy Hebrews would sign a covenant to be celibate.
But they did.
Can you explain that?
That was not uncommon at all, especially among Essenes, with whom the place where Mary, the house of Mary in Jerusalem. It seems like she grew up both Nazareth and Jerusalem. They're not that far away at all. It's in what was one of the Essene quarters. No, that we read in the book of Leviticus, if someone takes a Nazarite vow, if a girl takes a Nazarite vow and her father knows of it, she's bound by it. And then if she is engaged to be married and the person she's marrying knows about it, he's bound by it. They did practice that for religious reasons. And the tradition is that Joseph was significantly older than Mary, and he is gone after Jesus' 12th year. We don't hear of him again. And the reason being, and in the East, they quote now we don't hold this in the West, but in the East, they quote the very early non-canonical gospel, the first gospel of James, it's called. And they talk about Joseph saying, if I marry this girl, won't my kids think I'm nuts? Won't they think I'm a laughing stock? Their tradition in the East is that Joseph had been married. His first wife had died. Now, we don't, as I said, we don't adhere to that in the West so much. But it is a very ancient tradition and a very ancient possibility that a woman who had taken a vow couldn't join a convent. There were no convents. A woman had to be under the protection of a man, so they would have married her to an older relative. And it is quite clear from the early Christian documents that Joseph and Mary were cousins. They were relatives. And Joseph was asked to take care of Mary because she had taken a vow of virginity, as was a custom among certain people, among the Hebrews. So we're assuming they're both young, healthy. Well, no, Joseph, according to the strong tradition, was not young. And according to a strong tradition, the Blessed Mother had taken a Nazarite vow. So who knows? I wasn't there. But we do know that Mary had one child, Jesus. She stood alone at the foot of the cross and went to live with John, who was also probably a cousin of the Lord. So I hope that answers your question. It helps a little bit. All right. Very good. Thanks for asking. Well, and thanks for listening. Let's go to Sarah. I think we got time. Are you with us, Sarah?
Yes, I am.
Good. What can I do for you?
I heard on the news about a week or two ago that there was a priest in Italy who had performed a mass like in the
swimming pool. Yeah, well, no, he was in the ocean and he was he was offering mass on a floating mattress. And if I was his bishop, I would have called him in and discussed it the next day. Was this mass sacrilegious? I don't know the circumstances, but I cannot understand the circumstances of a scantily clad priest saying mass on an air mattress. It seems a bit odd, and I would have gotten up and gone and found a church where there was an actual altar. So I don't know. I wasn't there. And pray for your priest, because it's interesting. Well, at any rate, again, thanks so much for listening, we're going to the call. Are we going to the call center now? Oh boy, call center.
We are indeed going to the call center. Hi, Neil Robbins along with Mary Graham asking you to answer the call. It's Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive, and we have a need of $3 million to wipe out by the end of the week. Let's see, 3 p.m. Noon today would have been the halfway point of the pledge drive, so we should have been around $1.5 million at that point for exactly halfway. We're over $1.1 million, so we're a little bit behind right now. We need to step on the gas. Whatever you can do to help out, give us a call now, 877-291-0123. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the app. School getting underway in many parts of the country this week. We heard from 9-year-old Rhett in California last night. He was asking prayers for his first day of school, which is today. Maybe a bit of the first day nerves, but we love getting families together for the Family Rosary Across America, same as Father Patrick Peyton did in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. So today only, we have what Cale calls the dollar a day triple play. If you give 365 online, you get Father Rocky's talk on the Eucharistic revival, along with Father Peyton's Rosary Meditation book and the One Decade Rosary bookmark. Give online right now at a dollar a day. It's all yours at relevantradio.com or Mary Graham on that Relevant Radio app.
And there is a limited supply, so do not procrastinate. Get your call in right now at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Safe and secure online at relevantradio.com or by using the app on your smartphone or tablet. And you'll get the special bonus download that's been produced by Father Rocky. It is Cardinal Dolan's 10 Resolutions for Your Eucharistic Revival. A little bit of information is going to help you grow in your love and devotion to Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. That is all yours for your dollar a day at relevantradio.com or by using the app on your smartphone or tablet. We have Marta in Donna, Texas, and she did exactly that, a dollar a day online. You're getting all three of those great gifts coming your way. We have Diane in Pismo Beach, California, made that gift of a dollar a day, and she too did it online. Thank you so much. We have Bob in Albuquerque, New Mexico, $1,200, making his gift online as well. And yes, for your $1,200 gift, you still get the bookmark. Can you join the family? Can you answer the call now at relevantradio.com or by using the app on your smartphone or tablet or by calling 877-291-0123?
And this is the only day you will be able to get that beautiful rosary bookmark. We'll have Father Peyton's book for the remainder of the week, but this is the only day that we'll have that beautiful rosary one-decade bookmark. And so we want to get it before the supply runs out. We've had nearly 300 given away today. I'm not sure how many more we have to go, so you better get on the phone right now or jump online to relevantradio.com or on the app to get your beautiful hematite and accented with faceted glass crystals one-decade rosary bookmark to go along with that great book by Father Patrick Peyton. 230 meditations on the Holy Rosary in that book by Venerable Father Patrick Peyton. It's yours with the bookmark at the dollar a day giving level if you get a hold of us soon at relevantradio.com, on the app, or 877-291-0123.
Thank you to an anonymous donor in Woodway, Texas, making a special gift of $50. And we have Aleth in Chicago, Illinois, making a very special one-time gift of $25. Yes, Mira, I hope I said your name correctly. Forgive me if I didn't. In Richmond, Texas, that's one of our newer markets, made a special gift of $1 a day. And you're getting that great bookmark coming your way, along with Mary in West Chicago, making a gift of $1 a day. You can do that, too, at relevantradio.com, using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or by calling 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123. And if you're wondering, how do you get a bookmark that's got beads on it, and how does that affect your book? You can see it at our website, relevantradio.com. Click the Donate Now, and you'll see the little option for the gift levels up in the upper right-hand corner. Click that, and you can see it. It's absolutely beautiful. It looks great if you stick it in your Bible with the beads hanging down the bind of the Bible. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Remember, today is the only day, the absolute only day, that you can get this fabulous bookmark for your gift of a dollar a day at relevantradio.com, using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or by giving us a call. Just answer the call.